Guf Amar of Nachman, Amar Lihuna Bar Nasan Tana. Minayin Labirchas Chasanim Basara. How do we know that Birchas Chasanim needs to be done in the presence of 10 people? Shenemar Vayikach Asaran Hashem Mizikne Ha'ir Vayomer Shvupo. Boaz, when he's going to marry Rus, so he gets 10 people together in order to marry her. Rabbi Yabo, Omar Rabbi Yabo brings another source. Mehacha. V'makelos Baruch Hu Elokim Hashem Mimekor Yisrael. V'Rav Nachman Bahai Krod Rabbi Yabo Amai Darish Bey. What will Rav Nachman do with Rabbi Yabo's Pasuk of B'makelos? So he learns, uses that for something else. Mibayle L'chidetanya Hay Rabbi Meir Omer Minayin Shafilu Ubarim Shememei Ima and Amru Shira Alayam. How do we know that even the Ubar that was in the bellies of the women who were at Kriyas Yamsuf, that they sang Shira, Shnemer b'makelos Baruch Elokim Hashem Mekor Yisrael. So he uses the pasuk for that. V'idach imkein le'makor mi beten mai mi makor aliske makor. So that's how he deals. That's why the Rabbi Abo feels the pasuk is more justified to use it for his purposes. Aliske makor makes more sense that it's referring to marriage and not to singing Shira in the belly of the mother. Rabbi Abo, what does he do with Rav Nachman's pasuk of Boaz? My darish bey, hahumi bayle in the midrash amoni v'lo amonit moavi v'lo moavit. The reason why he needed asara b'nei adam was in order to make the drasha of amoni v'lo amonit, that it's only an amoni, a male amoni, who is prohibited from entering the kahal, and a male moavi, but not a female. And he needed to darshan that because Rus was a moaviyah. Because if it was for bracha, what do you need zakenim for? The pasuk is madgish that it was zakenim. What do you need zakenim for? You just need 10 regular people. But if it's to darshan a halacha, so then maybe you need zakenim. So v'idach, so what's the response? Isak adaitach lemedrish. Lo sagi de lava sara in le parsume milsa. So what do you need 10 for if it's just lemedrish? There's no rule that you need 10 people in order to make a drasha. The answer is you're right. You don't need it be'etzem for the drasha, but we do need it for pesumei milsa in order to get the word out. As we find that once Rav Chana Begadita wanted to make a certain drasha, so he said, quickly, get 10 people together so I can make the drasha in order that there should be pirsum hadav. So the Gemara here suggests two sources that Birchas Chasanim needs to be done in the presence of 10 people. However, what's clearly lacking from the Gemara is how do we know Bichlal that there's something called Birchas Chasanim? As was pointed out in Seder by Yonah, that the beginning, the first Masechet in Shas starts asking, what's the time frame for saying Kriya Shema at night? Well, what do you mean, what's the time frame? What's Kriya Shema? We haven't even been told yet that there's a Din Kriya Shema, and you're already starting to ask me about what's the time frame? So in our Gemara is trying to figure out how do we know the source that you need 10 people for Birchas Chasanim, but we don't even know that there's something called Birchas Chasanim. What's the source that you need to make a Berachas Chasanim? Now, Berachas Chasanim, just that we can clarify for ourselves, Berachas Chasanim are the Sheva Berachos that we make under the Chuppah. For those of you who don't remember, the general procession at a wedding is that when the husband and wife come under the Chuppah, so first the Chasan does Erusin, that's where he does the Kinyan, what we would traditionally nowadays be giving the ring. At that time, before he gives the ring, he makes a Bracha of Berachas Erusin. We're going to have a sugya where we discuss what is Birchas Erusin, what's the nature of it, what's the purpose of it. But he makes a bracha, Birchas Erusin. He then gives the ring in front of two Eidim. And that's it. It's Kiddushin. Everyone says Mazel Tov. Hariyat Mikudesh Esli, and that's it. They now have Kiddushin. We then do something in order to differentiate between Erusin and Nisuin. So nowadays, traditionally, we call up one of the Chashuvei Ha'ir, and he reads the Ksuba. And that's just really a filler. That's a time filler. And then we do Nisuin. What's Nisuin? So Nisuin, as we've already learned, is either bringing the woman under the canopy covering her face with the veil, bringing her into Yichud. So we do what is the generally accepted form of Nisuin, and that is the husband and wife standing under a chuppah together. So it happens to be they're already there. They're already on location because they just did Erisin under the chuppah. But now they stand under the chuppah and they do Nisuin. So seemingly at that point, that's it. That's Nisuin. So when he finished reading the ksuba, everyone just like looks around and they're like, oh, you guys are already under the chuppah. So, okay, mazel tov. You did Nisuin. Okay, then we take them in and we put them into a yichud room in order to be mekayim another shita. But what we do is that after they stand under the chuppah, and you should realize at your weddings, that after they read the ksuba, you're both like just sort of standing there. So that's it. You just did chuppah because you're both standing under the chuppah together. But we also make birchas chasanim. And birchas chasanim means that we say sheva brachos. So we call, you know, grandpa comes up and, you know, he comes up the stairs and he makes Bri Priya Gafen and Shakol Bar Lechvodo. And when we go through all the different brachos, Asher Bar Sassan V'Simcha, Chassan V'Kala, those are birchas chasanim. That needs to be done in the presence of 10. Now, you're my Erison seemingly didn't need 10 because you just needed Adim. So we're going to have a discussion about whether Berachas Erison also needs 10. But let's assume that Erison only needs 2. But you're doing it in this big hall full of people. You have 10 people. You're right, because we happen to do Nisuin right next to Erison. Back in the olden days, they didn't do Erison next to Nisuin. So theoretically, Erison could be done in somebody's house a year before Nisuin. For that, you only need 2 witnesses. You do Kiddushin. When it's time for Nisuin and you're going to make Birchas Chasanim, so you do that in front of 10 people. And that's our sugya. So, again, what's our issue? Our issue is that the Gemara talks about Birchas Chasanim Basara, but we don't even yet know that you have to do Birchas Chasanim. Who said you have to make these brachos in the first place? So, Baruch Hashem comes along one of the Mesechtos Ketanos, and that is the Mesechta that's known as Meseches Kala. It's one of the Mesechtos Ketanos. We have at the back of Nezikin, printed in the Gemara. I think it's right after Avodah Zarah. So in the back of Nezikin, we have the Mesechtos Ketanos printed. So the Mesechtos Ketanos are things like Avos Rabbi Nosson, Mesechtos Derech Eretz, Mesechtos Tzitzis, Tfilin, an whole group of Mesechtos Ketanos. One of those is Mesechtos Kala. The different Mesechtos Ketanos are from different time periods. Some of them are from the times of the Tanoim, they're Brises, and they're just like the other Mishnayos. And other of them are from later time periods. But we have something called Mesechtos Kala, and if you take a look in the very beginning of Mesechtos Kala, so Mesechtos Kala begins with a famous line. And that line is, Kala b'lo bracha, asur l'baila kenida. Thank you very much. Kala b'lo bracha, that's why it's called Mesechtos Kala, because the first word of the Mesechta is Kala. Kala b'lo bracha is asur l'baila kenida. A woman, without having gone through Birchas Nisuin, is considered like a nida. This is a dinder abana, seemingly. We'll leave that on the side for now. Ma nida shlo tov lo asur l'baila, af kala b'lo bracha is asur l'baila. Uminayin l'birchas chasana min haTorah. Oh, this is our question. How do you know that there's something called Birchas chasana min haTorah? Shenemar ve'evarchu es rifka, v'yomer la, Achoseinu atei le'alfei rivava. V'yirah zarecha zarech es shar sonov. So who's speaking in this pasuk? Who's speaking in this pasuk? Lavan and? And his father, Besuel, right?
It was the father and the mother.
I think it was the father.
Eliezer,
right?
Eliezer's in this.
He's in the background, maybe, but he's not the one speaking. Besuel and Lavan, before they send off Rivka with Eliezer, so they give her a bracha. And they say, Atayi la'alfei rivava, you should be very fruitful.
Eliezer's the one who's giving the brachas.
Slow down. Not, I'm asking about this pasuk over here. This pasuk, Atayi la'alfei rivava, who's the one who gives that bracha? V'yarei zarech et shar sonov. That was Besuel and Lavan. They make this bracha. Okay. You see, that's gonna be the problem with Tosfos. You'll see in 1 second. So, this is what the Mesechtos Kala quotes as the mocker for Birchas Chasanim. Now, inquiring minds would like to know, wait a second, how can this be the source for Birchas Chasanim? First of all, they were doing Nisuin then? At best, what were they doing? First of all, what's the standard story? Eliezer was sent to go find a wife for Yitzchak. When do you think they got married? They got married then?
Or the pashtus is, he brought her back, Yitzchak met her, and they said, great, it's a shidduch, let's have a wedding. And they got married. So already you see that Maseches Kala is assuming that the marriage took place there. This was a marriage via shliach. Eliezer was sent, and he was Mekadesh Rivka for Yitzchak. Not only that, not only did they do Kiddushin, but apparently they also did Nisuin. Because the bracha there was supposed to be the Nisuin bracha. So there are a couple of issues. Number one, whoever said that Nisuin took place there. Okay, apparently Masechtas Kala thought that. Issue number two, it's the wrong person speaking. Birchas Chasanim means that, well, again, maybe we should ask that question. What does Birchas Chasanim mean? Does the Chasan have to make the bracha? Or, as we said a minute ago, they call up grandpa, they call up the uncle, they call up the rabbi of the shul. So maybe in a chanami, maybe it works out very nicely. That here, it wasn't Eliezer making the bracha. Who was it? It was Besuel, the father of the bride, the brother of the bride. So in a chanami, maybe the Birchas Kala, Maseches Kala understands that Eliezer did Kiddushin. Then he did Nisuin. And part of the Nisuin was they called up Besuel, they called up Lavan, and they came and they gave brachas. Now, Atayi is not the bracha that we're familiar with. We're familiar with Asher Bara, Hakol Bara Lechvodo, Sos Tosis. But apparently they had their own brachas back then. So the bracha that they made was Atayi. So if you look at the Shita Mekubetzes, the Shita Mekubetzes says, not exactly. Atayi was not Birchas Chasanim. No one ever said that's Birchas Chasanim. That wasn't the bracha. Rather, it says there, Vayivarchu is Rivka, Atayi Leo, Atayi. So you see, Vayivarchu is Rivka is extra. You could have just said, Vyamru, or Vayivarchu. What do you mean, Vayivarchu is Rivka? So the Shittim Gubetzis understands that there's a little bit of an extra lashon here. And the extra lashon is there to tell us that not only did they say to her, Atayi Leo Alfei Rivava, like a bracha, right? See, Birchas Chasanim is a bracha on the institution of marriage. Right, the brachas that we make are so nice that God gave us the institution of marriage, and we hear in Yerushalayim the sounds of Chasan and Kala, Asher Baruch Sasan V'Simcha. Atayi was a very personal bracha. That was like the bracha that you give before, you know, your child goes down to the chuppah. You say, you should have a great life, you should be very successful, you should have lots of kids. So the Yeshiva went to say, Eino Chanami, Atayi was not Birchas Chasanim. Lavan and Besuel gave her a bracha, a personal bracha, right? Like under the bedekening. They gave her a personal bracha. And they said, you should be very fruitful. You should be very successful. But from the Lashon of Vayivarchu is Rivka, we learn that there were other brachas also said there. What were those other brachas that were said? That was Birchas Chasanim. So, okay. The Cheskuni, just interesting, the Cheskuni is commenting on, get your Tanakh, is that right?
Sure.
You have it there? He's commenting on a very interesting Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us, where was it, Perek? Chaf Dalid, Yud Beis or something? Yud, Chaf Dalid, Yud. So, in the story here, we're told that when Eliezer went, Vayikacha Eved, Asara gmalim migmalei adonav. What did he need 10 camels for? It's a large contingency. He took 10 camels, and he brought lots of stuff. So the Cheskuni basically learns that this was the things that were necessary for the wedding. The stuff was going to be, you know, what they're going to do the Kiddushin with. You have to give her a ring. You have to give her something of value. So he brought stuff with him. And the Cheskuni says that the asara gmalim were not just like, stam, let's bring 10 camels with us. But each camel had somebody on them. Besides his own horse or camel, whatever he had, there were 10 additional camels that he brought in order to bring the 10 people that were needed for the Nisuin. So the Shittim Gubetzis learns, they don't know Hanami. According to the Maseches Kala, that's the Cheskuni, that 10 extra people were brought. Why were 10 people brought? In order to be the Kahal, in order to be the 10 people that would be there,
thank you,
for the marriage. And Birchas Chasanim was said, it wasn't Atayi, because Atayi is just a personal bracha being given from a father to a daughter, but from the Lashon of Vayivarchu is Rivka, we learned that there were also other brachas that were made. What were those other brachas that were made? Those were Birchas Chasanim. So according to the Maseches Kala, the source for Birchas Chasanim is Vayavarchu is Rivka. I'll take questions in a second. Let me just talk about Tosfos, and then I'll take the questions. However, if you take a look at Tosfos in the Sugya, so Tosfos quotes Maseches Kala, Maisi Krod Vayavarchu is Rivka, and Tosfos seemingly disagrees. And he says, I don't think that that was Birchas Nisuin. I don't think that was Birchas Chasanim. I think that the Pasuk of Vayivarchus Rivka was talking about Birchas Eirusin. Meaning I could hear the Shita Gumetz's point, that there's some extra Lashon in the Pasuk, and there was some other bracha made besides Atei. Vayivarchus Rivka. But Vayivarchus Rivka wasn't referring to, this extra bracha was not referring to Birchas Chasanim, rather it was referring to Birchas Eirusin. Now, at the end of Tosfos, and then Tosfos says, I can bring a raya from here, something else as well, that you see that when you do Kiddushin al Yedei Shliach, the Shliach makes the Birchas Eirusin. The Shliach makes the Birchas Eirusin when you do it al Yedei Shliach. And then he ends off Tosfos by saying, V'nire desmachta ba'almahi, da'asara lo mishtameh mehasam. I don't think that that mucker of Vayavarchu is Rivka is really a very good mucker. Again, let's just get down the points according to Tosfos. According to Tosfos, Birchas Chasanim, the source for Birchas Chasanim is Boaz, as our Gemara says. That's the sheet of the Bavli. Birchas Chasanim is Boaz. Birchas Eirusin is Rivka. Unlike what the Maseches Kala says. Our Tosfos says that you see that the Bavli is disagreeing with Maseches Kala. Maseches Kala says it comes from Rivka. And in our Gemara, it's Mashma that comes from Boaz. So, it comes from Boaz. Now, in our Gemara, it never said it came from Boaz. Our Gemara said that 10, in fact, you need 10, comes from Boaz. But as we'll see in a second, Tosfos seems to conflate those two issues. If it's the source for 10, it's also the source for the bracha itself. So, the source for the bracha itself is Boaz, as Tosfos says. Even though in Maseches Kala, they quote the Pasuk of Yivarchu is Rivka, meaning, let me say it like this. I could have said, there's no stira here, Maseches Kala is the source for the idea that we have Birchas Chasanim. And Boaz, our Gemara, is the source that you need 10. But Tosfos isn't comfortable with that. Tosfos says, I know that in Kala they learn it from Rivka, but that's wrong. What do you mean? Why is that wrong? There's no necessary stira between Maseches Kala and our Sugya. But Tosfos apparently thinks that there is. If our Gemara says Boaz is the source for 10, that also means that Boaz is the source for Birchas Chasanim. It's the source, and in the source, you see that there were 10 people. That's how we know that you also need 10 people. So according to Tosfos, Birchas Chasanim is from Boaz. Birchas Eirusin is from Rivka. We also learn from here, from Rivka, we also learn that a Shliach is Mivarech Birchas Eirusin, also from Rivka. And then Tosfos comes and says, but you know what? This is actually incorrect. Meaning the source of Birchas Chasanim is still Boaz. But this idea that Birchas Eirusin comes from Rivka and also that a Shliach is Mevarech, it also comes from Rivka, is not true. You know why? Because it's clearly that pasuk is just an asmachta. That pasuk is clearly just an asmachta. Now, below Ayri Pashtei Dekra over there by Birchas Eirusin, because it doesn't sound at all in the psukim that they're talking about Birchas Eirusin. It sounds like Atahi. It's a brach from a father to a daughter before she goes and gets married. Nothing halachic, just a nice sentiment. The father gives a bracha to his daughter before she goes off and gets married. Oh, the Shita Gumetz says, but there's extra lashon, and from the extra lashon we can learn there must have been another bracha. Tosfos says nothing doing. Pashtei Dekra is that it's not talking about Birchas Eirusin. It's certainly not talking about Birchas Nisuin. Pashtei Dekra is that it was just a bracha. So this whole idea of Rivka being a source, strike it from the record. It's an asmachta at best. Now it's interesting, when Tosfos says, why does Tosfos so convinced it's not a mocker and it's only an asmachta? What does he say? Delo mishtai kra basara. Because it's not so clear the pasuk says, who's talking about asara? We're talking about the source for Birchas Eirusin. So you see that Tosfos conflates those two points. When we say Birchas Chasanim, we mean Birchas Chasanim and the fact that Birchas Chasanim is with 10. And when we say Birchas Eirusin, we mean Birchas Eirusin and the fact that Birchas Eirusin needs to be with 10. And therefore, Tosfos says, oh, well, if the Pashtei Dekra over there is not talking about Birchas Eirusin, and it also doesn't say anywhere in the Pasuk there that you need 10, So that's it. We strike it. I could have responded to Tosfos when Tosfos says it's not mashmah in the pasuk there that you need 10. I could have responded to Tosfos and said, okay, fine, so you don't need 10. It's still a good source that you need to save your chaserusin. But you see that for Tosfos, those two things go hand in hand. The source for the etzem din and that the etzem din needs to be with 10, those things go in hand. And therefore, if the pashtei dekra of Rivka is not talking about erusin, and it doesn't seem like there were 10 people there, it sounds like there was Eliezer and Besuel and Lavan and Rivka. That's it. Four people, tops. Now, I know the Cheskuni says no, but they imported 10 people with the Asar Gemalim. But Tosa says that's not the pashtei dekra. That's not the pashtei dekra. So at the end of the day, when we look at what's going on here, so we have Maseches Kala. Maseches Kala thinks that the source for Birchas Chasanim is Rivka. Tosfos says that our Bavli disagrees. The source for Birchas Chasanim, just like the source that Birchas Chasanim needs to be with 10, is from Boaz. And at the end of the day, don't bring any rayas from Rivka. The Pasuk in Rivka is not a raya for Birchas Chasanim for sure, like Maseches Kala says. It's not even for Birchas Erusin, which Tosfos had a Havamina for. And it's also not necessarily going to be a source that when the shliach is mikadesh, then he makes a bracha. Because the whole story of Rivka is just struck from our discussion. Okay. Question?
Furthermore, maybe we can even say that we can't learn Birchas Erusin from Rivka because the story's not there.
That's a separate point. But that's a question whenever we learn things from the stories of the Avos. Correct. Correct.
Birchas Chasanim being the Asara, does that include the Chasa?
We'll get there today. Mitzvah Hashem. I mean, the Gemara says yes. But we're going
to
discuss
what.
We'll see. We'll see. You mean then you only need a 9?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good.
Wait, according to the Skuni, if he got there, though, and he did the Birchas, you still wouldn't the Chasa is going to have to be there?
Oh, so that's a good question also. According to the Cheskuni writes specifically, there were 10 people in order to do Erusin and Nisuin. How do you do Nisuin without the Baal? So now we do know there's a sugya of Holach HaIshim Shluchei HaBaal. Right? Remember we saw that sugya later in Ksubis. Holach HaIshim Shluchei HaBaal. If the father gives the girl over to the Shluchim of the Baal, so it definitely triggers a form of Nisuin. Right, there are certain halachos that already kick in. I don't know if you remember, there was a whole Mishnah Rishona and a Mishnah Achrona. This idea, we learned that when we did the sugya of, I don't know if you remember, we spent a lot of time being medayik in this Rambam, where the Rambam says that it wasn't Nisuin Gemurin. It didn't complete. So we had a whole discussion, is there such a thing as Miksas Nisuin? Remember we had this discussion? We were medayik in a Rambam, that maybe by a Chupas Nida, Lo Gomru, so it makes it sound like maybe it started, but it didn't complete. So that was all part of the sugya. So we have a precedent, a little bit of setup of Nisuin in absentia, you know, like when there's no Baal there. But you're right, according to the Cheskuni, they did Nisuin without the Baal there. How can you take him into the Rishus HaBaal unless you're going to say that the Shlucham of HaBaal is considered the Rishus HaBaal? Okay, I actually would like to take just a very quick few minutes just to discuss, just because it's one of these, you know, there's a whole genre of lumdus, learning lumdus in stories in Bereishis. For instance, there's a sefer called Chavetzelos Hasharum from Rav Kalbach, and the whole idea of the sefer is that he goes through all the different stories. The Minchas Asher does it sometimes also. It's a whole genre of writing where they go through stories in Bereishis and they learn up all this like lumdus, you know, as if like the whole Shulchan Aruch with the Shach and the Taz was already around at the time of the Avos. So like, how does this work according to the Shitas HaTaz? You know, like things like that. So let's say, how did Avram do his Kinyan on Maras HaMachpelah? You know, Kinyan with the Goy, and how did he do it, and what form of Kinyan did he use? So here there's a very interesting debate as well. Tosfos learned, again, in the Havamina, in the end it seems like he falls off of it, even though, again, this Tosfos is a little hard to read. But Tosfos brings up, at least as a Havamina, that Eliezer made the Birchas Erusin when he was Mekadesh Rivka for Yitzchak. So the question is, whoever made Eliezer Shliach for Yitzchak? If you look in the Pesukim in the Torah, Avram has a conversation with Eliezer. Now Avram is the father of Yitzchak. Even if Avram is going to appoint Eliezer as a Shliach, but how Avram's not the one getting married. Yitzchak's the one getting married. So how exactly does that work? How is Eliezer able to mekadesh Rivka for Yitzchak? He was never the shliach of Yitzchak. Never appointed him as the shliach. So in the Sefer HaMakne, I believe, he quotes, which is a classic Sefer HaMaseches Kiddushin, from the Haflah, I believe. So the in the Sefer HaMakne, he writes that this is a raya for a sheet that we find in Shulchan Aruch, that if a father is mekadesh an isha on behalf of his son, and the son is quiet, doesn't say anything, the Kiddushin is chal. Because we automatically assume that the son appointed the father to be a shliach. The father's mekadesh nisha for the son. Right? He talks a shidduch, goes over to another family, speaks to the father of the girl. He says, I think it's a good idea. My son should marry your daughter. And the other father says, yes. And they do some type of kinyan. And the son is standing there and he sees the whole thing. And he doesn't say like, I don't want to marry this girl. And he doesn't say anything. He just sits there and he lets his father be mekadesh nisha. So the din in Shulchan Aruch is, we assume that he is, through his silence, appointing his father to be a shliach for him, to be mekadesh tisha. So, is it possible that while Avram was talking to Shidduch, Yitzchak was standing there, and he didn't say anything? Yes. So, very good. So, we've successfully made Avram the shliach of Yitzchak. But we still have a problem, because there's a big debate. Can a shliach be also a shliach? How was it possible that Eliezer was able to marry Rivka on behalf of Yitzchak? Yitzchak maybe appointed Avram to be a shliach. He never appointed Eliezer to be a shliach. So first of all, when it comes to Kiddushin, we hold ein shliach osa shliach. You can't have somebody else. One shliach cannot appoint another shliach. So therefore, again, even if Avram was the shliach of Yitzchak, but Eliezer wasn't the shliach of Yitzchak, and Avram as the shliach of Yitzchak can't make Eliezer a shliach, that's issue number one. Number two, Eliezer was an eved. And an eved is not betorah shlichus. So even if, again, if we're able to get it from Yitzchak to Avram, how do we get it to Yitzchak? Both, just technically, how do we get it from Yitzchak to Eliezer? Yitzchak to Avram we were able to do. And also, seemingly, Eliezer is not shayach to be a shliach. An eved is not shayach to be a shliach. So the Makne continues and says a very fascinating idea. He says a chiddush. He says that maybe, when do we say that an eved can't be a shliach? That's talking about someone else's eved. Someone else's eved can't be my shliach. But my eved can be my quote-unquote shliach. But not me din shlichos. Rather, because of a different din. And what's that other din? That other din is yad eved kid yad rabo. An eved of a person is considered like an extension of the person himself. Not me din shlichos, but me din yad. He's like the extension of my arm. When I send to my eved and say, go pick up that aveda for me, and the eved picks it up, that's not me din shlichos. That's me din an extension of my arm. My eved is my extension of my arm, my eved kenani. And therefore, maybe, again, what happened here? Yitzchak appointed Avram to be his shliach through his silence. Now, Avram doesn't appoint Eliezer to be his shliach because A, ain't shliach osa shliach, and B, Eliezer is not, an eved's not nitan to shlichus. But rather, when the eved went and he was mekadesh Rivka, when Eliezer went and he was mekadesh Rivka, that was midin yad. Yad of Avram, the yad of the eved is ki yad Avram. And therefore, we've got Yitzchak to Avram through shlichus, Avram to Eliezer through the din yad. However, this is all against a Tosas Arid in Gittin. The Tosas Arid in Gittin brings up this possibility that Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo means that the Eved is an extension of the Rabo, and therefore he can do things like Kiddushin. And the Tosas Arid says that that is not true. When we say that in Gittin Kiddushin, Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo, all that means is that the Eved is able to function as a form of Chatzer for the Rabo. And this is a major, major limitation on this din of Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo. It doesn't mean that whatever the Eved does when Kiddushin and Gittin is an extension of the Rav. Rather, what it means is that the Eved is able to serve in some way as a chotzer for the Rav. And therefore, if the listen to what it has to be, because in general, a person is a chatzar malachas. Right? Normally, if you want to be magari shenisha, you could throw a get into her property, and the chatzar acquires the get for the woman. However, there's a big discussion that might not work unless the woman is standing next to the chatzar. If she's standing next to the chatzar, and you throw her into the chatzar, then she's kona the get. The problem is that an eved is moving, and a chatzar malachas is not a chatzar. And therefore, says the Rid, the only time we apply this is if the eved is tied up, so he can't move, and the woman is standing next to the eved, so then, instead of giving the get to the woman, if you stick it into the eved's, like, tied up arms, so then the woman is kona. That's all it means. Yad eved ki yad rabo. It doesn't mean what the Machne thinks it means, that the eved can go do something, and it's sort of like a form of shlichus. So anyway, this is just an interesting, fascinating discussion about Tosfos has this havamina that Eliezer served as the eved, as the shliach, and maybe it's even a raya that a shliach makes the bracha. So you see that that itself is already a huge assumption that Eliezer is able to serve as the shliach. Seemingly, he's not able to because there was no minoy shlichus, because he's an eved, because ain shliach was a shliach. Therefore, Tosfos is certainly making a lot of assumptions in order to say what he says. Okay. So we clarified the makar, or at least the debate about the makar, for this bracha called Birchas Chasanim. Now let's talk about the fact that it needs asara. So it's clear in our Gemara, Birchas Chasanim. Boi Asara. How do we know? From Boaz. Everybody seems to agree to that. Right? The debate was, do you need a separate mocker for the Etzem Chiyuv? Maybe you need the Pasuk by Rivka, maybe you don't. Tosfos versus Maseches Kala, or Tosfos understanding our Gemara, as opposed to Maseches Kala. But at the end of the day, everybody agrees you need 10 for Birchas Chasanim. Why? Why do you need 10 people for Birchas Chasanim? Now, there is a Masech, what's Daf Yomi up to? Chav Tes. Okay, great. So Shlomo, what does the Mishnah in Daf Chav Gimel tell us about Birchas Chasanim? You certainly remember, right? The Mishnah that discusses Birchas Chasanim. But I don't want you to, you know, show off to everybody. So I'll share it with everybody. So the
Cirilli.
You're right, Eli, you're right.
I had the translation.
There you go. So the Mishnah tells us, Ein parsonal ashma, Ein overim lufnei ateva, Ein nosnes kakeyem, Ein korin bator, you can't do duchening, you know, kohanim, and you can't read from the Torah and shul, Ein maftirin benavi, Ein osin mamaru moshav. Remember what that is? What's mamaru moshav? Right, while you're taking the body to be buried, so they would stop, and they would, every once in a while, they would stop, they would say a Kaddish, they would maybe say some Sukkim. Ein omer birchas aveilim, v'tanchume aveilim, u'birchas chasanim, v'ein mezamnin, v'shem, you can't do a zimun on benching, with shem Hashem, right, Elokeinu, and there's like a little dance in their seats. And v'ein mezamnin, v'shem, all of these things, you can't do it. Pachos me'asar. So the Mishnah Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis and Megillah has a long list of things that must be done in the presence of 10. Comes the Gemara. Oh, this is from the raid bite that you sent me. Is on this Gemara, right? Minani Mili. It's coming back now, right? Minani Mili. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that these things need 10? Now, what's these things? We just listed like 12 things. How do we know that these things need 10? Something called the Dover Shibitusha. The Dover Shibitusha needs 10. And then it goes through the marker for that. Ada. There's a drasha there. Okay, then the Gemara continues. Quotes again from the Mishnah. You also can't do the funeral stuff. Less than 10. Now, why? That's because of Davar Shabbatusha? Mar says no. Kevin de Boyle Mamar, Umdu Yakarim Omodu. Shvu Yakarim Shvu. Since we're going to tell people to stand up, to stop, to sit, Botzer Measor Lav Orach Ora. It's not orech ara. It's not kovadik to do it in with less than 10. Okay. So again, the Mishnah we had in the beginning of the Mishnah we had Kriyas HaTorah, Birchas Kohanim, and the Gemara says, how do you know? Because these are Dabar Shemedusha. Dabar Shemedusha needs 10. Then the Mishnah talks about the funeral stuff. And it says, what do you need 10 for the funeral stuff? And it says, because it's not covered to do it with less than 10. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Vein Omrim Birchas Aveilim u Birchas Chasanim. So Gemara just asks, what's a Birchas Aveilim? It's a bracha you make at a funeral. And what's Birchas Chasanim? No, then it says, oh, and Birchas Aveilim needs 10, the Ein Aveilim min Aminyan, and Birchas Chasanim needs 10, but the Chasan is min Aminyan. Okay. Then we ask again, why is benching with Shem Hashem need 10? Kevin Deboy Lamaymar, Nevarech Lelokeinu, Patsur Me'asar, Alav Orechar, it wouldn't be kavod. So the Gemara goes through everything on the list except for Birchas Aveilim and Birchas Chasanim. Tuchening, Kriyas HaTorah, why do you need 10? Because they're Dabar Shebikdusha. The funeral stuff, why do you need 10? Because of Kavod. Skip to the end of the Mishnah. Why do you need 10 to say Elokeinu in benching? Not because of Dabar Shebikdusha, because it's not Kavod to start mentioning Hashem's name without 10. So we clearly see in the Mishnah, there's some things that need, the Mishnah is not a homogeneous mixture of things that need 10 all for the same reason. Some of the things in the Mishnah need 10 because it's Dabar Shebikdusha. Some of the things in the Mishnah need 10 because it's not covered to do it with less than 10. And the only thing in the Mishnah that wasn't clarified, why does it need 10, is Birchas Chasanim. So we need to figure out, why does Birchas Chasanim need 10? And we have in front of us two options. Either because it's a Dabar Shebikdusha, or because it's a type of kavod issue. So, if you take a look in the Shita Mekubetzes, Shibugwetzes takes a stand on this issue. Says the Shita Mekubetzes, quoting from the Gaonim, Umipnei Shedavar Shepikdushahu Levarech Es Hashem Kines Asara. So the Shita Mekubetzes seems to take a strong position. Why do you need 10 people at Birchas Chasanim? Put it on the list with the Dabar Shebikdusha things. It's because Birchas Chasanim is a Dabar Shebikdusha. However, if you take a look in the Aruch HaShulchan, now I realize Shita Mekubetzes is a Rishon, Aruch HaShulchan is an Achron, but the Aruch HaShulchan writes that it's Pashit, that the reason why we need 10 is not because of Dabar Shebikdusha. It's Pashit, that it's an Indian of Kavod. Why is what makes a Birchas Chasanim a Dabar Shebikdusha? Maybe he would say, with Shita Mekubetzes, you know, he even says, he uses the Lashon that the Gemara used regarding Kavod. It says, since you're being Mevarech Es Hashem, that's what it said by benching. Benching with 10 needs for Kavod because you're saying Hashem's name. So the Aruch HaShulchan and you know, the Yehuda writes like this, and the Ish Lavrom writes like this. Many Achronim write that it's not because of Dabar Shebikdusha. What about Kriyas HaTorah? I understand is Dabar Shebikdusha. You're it's Kriyas HaTorah. Duchening, I understand maybe. I don't know. The Kohanim standing up there, that's a Dabar Shebikdusha. And we have to define what a Dabar Shebikdusha is. But Birchas Chasanim, he says, is an issue of Kavod, and that's why you need 10. Now, it might be mashma that way also in a Ritva in our Sugya, because the Ritva, when the Pasuk says by Boaz that he collected, he collected together 10 Zekanim. So the Ritva says, oh, we learn from the fact that it says Zekanim in the Pasuk, that's a raya that they need to be males. It's a raya that they need to be Gedolim and not Ketanim. Can you do Birchas Chasanim with, you know, 5 men, 4 women, and a baby? It's 10 people. So the answer is, says the Ritva, no. You see, it says Zekanim. So the fact that it says Zekanim in the Pasuk by Boaz means you need Gedolim, and it means you need men. Now, wait a second. If it was Midin Dabar Shebikdusha, so of course you need 10. Dabar Shebikdusha is only by 10 men. Dabar Shebikdusha, you can't have a minion with 5 men, 4 women, and a baby. You can't have Kriyas HaTorah or Duchening with 5 men, 4 women, and a baby. Dabar Shebikdusha needs 10 men. So if it was Midin Dabar Shebikdusha, the Ritva wouldn't need to start making diukim. How do we know that you need men? And how do we know that it needs to be gedolim? Just say it's never shmedusha. That's why. So the fact that he feels the need to learn it out from the pasuk says zikainim. Oh, that means it must be man. That means it must be gedolim. Indicates the Ritva also was learning that this is not a davar shebikdusha. Rather, this seems to be more of an inyan of kavod. Okay, yeah, question.
Can you analyze the Ritva the opposite way?
Yeah, let me hear.
The fact that he says he derives from zikainim that it has to be 10 shows that dak has to be 10 men, so it is davar shebikdusha.
No, but if you're saying maybe that's how he's learning that it's a davar shebikdusha? Like his raya that it's a davar shebikdusha? Yeah. If you would have said, from the fact that it says the zikainim means you need 10 men, and therefore it's a davar shebikdusha,
well, maybe you just wouldn't darshan anything with zikainim.
I hear you. You want to say that that's his indication that it's a davar shebikdusha.
Yeah.
Like going the opposite direction. Like I'm being medayik and saying, what do you need to say that for if it's a davar shebikdusha? You want to say that, no, he's trying to explain how he knows it's a davar shebikdusha. Okay, interesting. We have to look at the lashon and see if that works, but that's very creative. That's very good. Okay. What would be a nafkamina? What does it make a difference if it's davar shebikdusha? You need 10 men. So 10 men is 10 men. What does it make a difference? So there could be some big nafkamina, whether it's midin davar shebikdusha or whether it's midin kavod. The first one, perhaps, is it ma'akev or not? Meaning, if it's just an inyan of kavod, so that sounds like, okay, this is the ideal way to do it. It's kavodik to do it with 10 people. Let's say I live in a city, and I live in a small town, and there aren't 10 Jews in the town. So that's it. No one can get married unless we like travel. Like we live in the middle of nowhere. It's 5 hours. You know, we live in the middle of, I don't know, the Carpathian Mountains. It's a 4 hour travel to get to a city that has a minyan. And you see that in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch talks about if you don't have a minyan in your town and you have to pay people to come to your town, when's the Rosh Hashanah? Like when should you be doing that? Or if you live in a town and they don't have a minyan, so and you can only travel once, so do you travel for Megillah reading? Let's say you can only travel once during the time period, and it's right around Purim time, so do you go for Pasha Zohar, or do you go to hear Megillah? So you see that there was a reality that people lived in places where wasn't a minyan of people. So now let's say you live in one of these places, it's the middle of the winter, and you can't really travel, you know, it's 15 degrees outside. You're not going to start traveling to go get married. So that's it, no one gets married for like 5 months of the year because you can't get 10 people together to save Birchas Chasanim. So is it Ma'akev? So the Rashba writes in a tshuva, Chelek Aleph, he writes that, if you live in a city that don't have 10 people, that's it, no one can get married. Because Birchas Chasanim Basara is Ma'akev. And if you don't do the bracha, which din is going to get triggered? The din from the beginning, very beginning, Maseches Kala, Kala below bracha, Zasura lebaila kenita. So you need bracha, and bracha requires 10. So the Rashba seems to learn that it is required. It's ma'akev. So maybe the Rashba's learning that it's a davar shebikdusha. And therefore, just like Kriyas HaTorah, 10 people is not a suggestion. Sorry. If you don't have 10 people, that's it. You can't do Kriyas HaTorah. That's not called Kriyas HaTorah. That's called studying together, if 9 people read out of a Sefer Torah together. But it only becomes Kriyas HaTorah if you have a minyan. So too, the Rashba says, you can't have a marriage without 10. It's ma'akev. So maybe the Rashba's learning that it's midin davar shebikdusha, the fact that you need 10. Along these lines would also be a very big chiddush of the Trumas HaDeshen. One of the Rishonim in Ashkenaz. The Trumas HaDeshen of Moshe Isserles. So, the Rav, no, not Rav Moshe Isserles, Rav Yisrael Isserlin, I believe. But anyway, the Trumas HaDeshen writes in a tshuva that it's true that you can't make Birchas Chasanim without 10. He agrees. It's ma'akev. He just disagrees with the conclusion. Right, the Rashba said you need 10 in order to make Birchas Chasanim, and therefore if you don't have 10, you can't get married. The Trumas HaDeshen says, I don't think that's true. I think you need 10 to do Birchas Chasanim, but you can get married without Birchas Chasanim. Oh, Kala below Bracha is Aser. So he says, no, what that means is without a chuppah. It's Lav Dafka. It doesn't mean Brachos. It means without a chuppah. A woman can't be with her husband until she goes through Nisuin. But in a Hanami, if you live in a small town where there aren't 10 people, you don't do a wedding with Birchas Chasanim without 10 because you need 10 to say Birchas Chasanim. You do a wedding without Birchas Chasanim. Right? Like, let's say you only had 8 people in your town. So what do you do when you get to Kriyas HaTorah? You don't do Kriyas HaTorah with 8. You just don't do Kriyas HaTorah. So too, the Chupas HaDeshin says, I agree with the Rashba. Birchas Chasanim needs 10. Likuva. But I disagree with his conclusion. His conclusion was, okay, just therefore don't get married until you get 10 people together. I say get married and just don't make a bracha. Don't make Birchas Chasanim. Oh, Kalabalo Brachas Asur Labayla Kanida? That's not really true, Ligamri. That's a little bit lavdafka. It means that you need to go through a chuppah. Okay. On the other hand, the Note of Yehuda writes in a tshuva that Asara is not ma'akev. It's ideal. Birchas Chasanim should be done. Meaning, he agrees with the Trumas HaDeshen in the sense that if you don't have 10 people, you still get married. But he disagrees, because he says you should make Birchas Chasanim. Oh, Birchas Chasanim needs 10? You're right, ideally it needs 10. But if you don't have 10, you can still do it without 10. And the brachos will be chal, and you won't have a problem of kala below bracha, sur labai lekanida, because it's not me'akev, the brachos. The brachos can be done b'di'eved without 10. So it could be that, according to the Note of Yehuda, that he's learning that's an issue of kavod. And if it's an issue of kavod, it's ideal, but it's not going to be ma'akev. It could even be, so that's our nafkamina, if it's ma'akev or not, it could even be that some assumed that the two different makoros that we have in our Gemara reflect these two different perspectives on Birchas Chasanim. Why? I don't know if one is more obvious than the other, but if I wanted to say it, I would say it like this. Why did Boaz go out and find 10? Because he needed 10. He needed 10. If he didn't have 10, he wouldn't be able to marry her. But maybe bimakelos means that it's good to get married bimakelos in front of a group of 10 people. But it's not absolutely required. Now, I realize you could have just said it the opposite way, right? Why did Boaz go out to get 10 people? Because that's the ideal way to get married. He wanted to do it ideal, you know? And bimakelos seems to say, no, you got to do it in a kal. So I don't know if it's mukhrach one way or the other, but I will point out that it seems like the Tosfos Rid thought that way. If you open up your Gemara, look at the Tosfos Rid on Daf Ches, next Amud, just a few words in, at least in my Gemara, it's a few words in. Dibur HaMaskil is Asher Bara. You see that? Asher Bara? It's on the bracha that we say in Birchas Chasanim, Asher Bara Sosam V'Simcha. Moish, you have it there? Asher Bara?
Asher Bara Zehu Atakam.
No, Perish Tchila. Tchila Mivarech Shakol. Yeah, you see where that is? You got it? Dovi, you got it?
Not yet.
Not yet? Yeah, okay, good. So listen to what he says. Perish Tchila Mivarech Shakol Baruch Lechvodo. Mishum de Birchas Chasanim Tzricha Asara. Birchas Chasanim needs 10. Kidichsiv b'makelos baruch hu Hashem. Uksiv b'rovam hadras melech. So he chooses one of the makoros in our sugya. He chooses b'makelos, and he adds on to it, like we see, b'rovam hadras melech. Now, b'rovam hadras melech is definitely not ma'akev. B'rovam hadras melech means that it's ideal to do it this way. So it sounds a little bit like the Tosfos Rid by choosing one of the Makoros and then comparing it to Berobam Hadras Melech understood that if you learn it from the Makelos at least, it's not going to be Ma'akev.
So there's the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reisha test, Sif Beis, Chelik Beis of Mishavura, regarding Birchas HaGomel. So anyone have a Chelik Beis here? Just read the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. No. Okay. Anyway, the Shulchan Aruch there paskins that Birchas HaGomel requires 10 people in order to say Birchas HaGomel. And in the Berhetev, he brings two deyas about whether the chasan is min, whether the Balanes himself is min aminyan. When we say that you need 10 people for Birchas HaGomel, does that even include the person who's making the Birchas HaGomel? Meaning, is it him plus 9 or is it him plus 10? So the Mishnah Brura, he writes that the Balanes is min haminyan. He is counted as part of the minyan. And in the Shara Tzion, the Mishnah Brura brings a, what he calls a smach, some a mini raya, for the idea that he's min haminyan. You don't need him plus 10. You need him plus 9, 10 in total. Why? He says, well, we see that by Birchas Chasanim, There, it's min haminyan. So if by birchas chasanim it's min haminyan, we can make an argument. He even has, again, oh, we don't have one here. Let me see if we can find one on the shelf over here. I'd like to quote his exact lashon. Let's see what we got here. Mishnah Berurah? Chelek Beis? No, it's all right.
No.
That's the Chelek Gimel up there?
Yeah.
What about all the way over to the left?
You're all
left. Over. Beis, there we go.
Wow.
Okay. Reish Yud Tet. So the Shaar Tzion. Says as follows. The smach ledover to hakol din da asara yalfinan may be removu bekal am. Im came kimo gavi birchas chasanim. The yalfinan gam came according to an opinion from Makelos. Afilu hachi the chasan is min aminyan. Kol shekain bracha zud bekila. Here, this bracha is even more makel. Because here, there are those poskim who hold that asara isn't even ma'akev. Meaning we know, he's assuming, we though saw that there's a little bit of a machlokas, but he's assuming that by birchas chasanim, it's ma'akev. You need 10. We saw there's a little bit of a debate. It seemed like most assumed it's ma'akev. Most assumed it was ma'akev. Which is the question of, can you lamaisa end up doing Nisuin without the bracha. Is that really ma'akev? But to make birchas chasanim is ma'akev. But here, when it comes to birchas agomer, there are many poskim who say that it's best to do birchas agomer in front of a minyan, but if you don't have a minyan, it's okay also. So, seemingly the requirement for asara is less when it comes to birchas agomer than by birchas chasanim. And yet, by birchas chasanim, chasan min haminyan. So, kol shekain by berachas agomel, the chasan should be min haminyan. That's the argument of the Shaar Tzion. So this is the Mishnah Berurah's raya that mechora the balanes is min haminyan. Now we, since we know a little bit about berachas chasanim, we can ask on his raya. Is that really a good raya? As we saw in the Shita Mekubetzes, berachas chasanim is perhaps fundamentally different than Birchas Agomel. Because as the at least the Shit Mekubetza says, B'shem the Geonim, Umipnei Shedavar Shebikdushahu Levarech Es Hashem Kinei Sasara. At least according to the Geonim, it sounds like Birchas Chasanim is a Davar Shebikdusha. We are coming together, giving God's praise as a Tzibur. It's a Davar Shebikdusha, and therefore it is fundamentally different than Birchas HaGomel. Birchas HaGomel is not a Davar Shebikdusha. Birchas HaGomel is, we want to be mefarsein the neis. We want to give our Hakaras HaTov in public, but it's not a Davar Shebikdusha. So why does the Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar Tzion think that in Hachanami, by Birchas Chasanim, it's true, the Chasan is min haminyan. But why is that a riot, the Birchas HaGomel? Ella, it sounds like that the Mishnah Berurah is learning that no, not like the Shita Mekubetzes. The Mishnah Berurah is learning that Birchas HaChasanim, just like Birchas HaGomel, the reason we need 10 is not because it's a Davar Shebikdusha, some type of inyan of doing it publicly. You know, by Birchas HaGomel, you want to praise God publicly for the fact that you were saved. So too, by Birchas HaChasanim, you want to praise God publicly. Thank you for giving us the institution of marriage. we're coming together to do a marriage. There's some inyan here of kavod, some type of inyan of pirsum adavar, and that seems to be how the Mishnah Berurah is learning, and that's why he feels comfortable bringing a raya from Berachas Chasanin to Berachas Adolma. However, the Brisker Rav, quoted here in the Sefer Matikei Shmua, the Brisker Rav thinks, he doesn't quote the Shita Mugubetzes, but on his own, he says, I don't understand what the raya is. Lamaisa Berachas Agomel Ikaro is piersum. You don't even farseim it to the tzibor, and the tzibor is 10. And therefore, maybe you need 10 people to broadcast it to. You're not included in that, because you already know. Your job is you want to be mafarseim it further. How are you mafarseim it further? You say it to a cow, you say it to a minion. So maybe when it comes, says the Brisker Rav, maybe the raya is not a good raya. Maybe when it comes to Birchas Chasanim, it's Davash Kedusha. By Davash Kedusha, you need 10 people. It's like a technical din. Once there are 10 people, the Shechina is there. However, for instance, just as a side point, when, after a Shachris, when you want to say Chazaras HaShatz, you need 10 people who finished Shmon Esrei in order so that you have 10 people answering, because there's an inyan to have a tefillah b'tzibor. You need 10 people. But in Maariv, when you finish Maariv, you're not saying Chazaras HaShatz. You're not doing a tefillah b'tzibor, you're just saying Kaddish. That's why many shittos hold that by Kaddish, you don't need 10 people finished, even if 6 people are finished, even if 7 people are finished. As long as you have a majority answering, it's fine. Now, why is that fine? Because the inyan of Kaddish is not tefillah b'tzibor, it's just davar shebekdusha. Davar shebekdusha is chal, as soon as you have 10 people in the room. It doesn't matter if some of them are still davening and they can't answer. It's not about answering. It's about once you have 10 people, the shechina is there. Davar shebekdusha is totally on having 10 people present, as opposed to being a farsim something, says the Brisker Rav. To be a farsim something, maybe I need 10 people hearing. So in Achanami, maybe by Berachas Chasanim, which is a davar shebekdusha, I only need 10 people, including the chasim, 9 plus him. But when it comes to Berachas Agomel, maybe I need 10 plus him, because I need to be mefarseim it to other people. This would... this would also explain, says the Brisker Rav, the Gemara in Brachos, and from Zayinam Abayz, brings up a Havamina, that maybe when you're benching with 10 people... we know when you're benching with 10 people, you mention Hashem's name, Elokeinu. But maybe if you're benching with 9 people, and in the room there's also a baby in his crib, so maybe you can also, the Gemara brings up as a possibility, maybe we're mezamein olav. Now why do we have such a habamina? So it's the Brisker Rav, because of the Davash Mekdusha. So by Davash Mekdusha, you have 10 people, that's able to create the Shechina. So the Gemara discusses, we don't pass in that way, the Gemara discusses maybe even a Tinok, but we wouldn't consider that by Birchas Agomel. Because by Birchas Agomel, you need 10 people who can hear and understand and to be mafar statements that they speak about it. The whole idea is to be, lahagdil, shem Hashem, and hakar satov. So it's poshut. You need 10 people who are there besides the person who can hear. And we know there's no avamina in the Gemara that it could be a baby. Why is there avamina by benching? Because maybe by benching, even though we know that benching itself, the Gemara in Megillah was pretty clear, the benching is not because of a davar shebekdusha. But I think the point that he's trying to make is that when it comes to Birchas HaGomel, specifically, you need 10 adults who can hear it and perhaps even spread it further. But what ends up coming out is we have a machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Brisker Rav about the nature of Birchas Chasanim. Is Birchas Chasanim davar shebekdusha, or is Birchas Chasanim not a davar shebekdusha? Now I'm going to press my luck here. With anyone have a chelik vav of Mishnah Berurah here? Is there a chelik vav up there?
Didn't you say there was a...
No, it's okay. I'm just going to say it outside. In Tafresh Ayin Hey, in Tafresh Ayin Aleph, which is in Hilchos Chanukah, in the Ber Halacha, the Yesh, so the Mishnah Berurah there writes as well something that's seemingly l'shitaso. He says that when you light candles in the Beis Knesses, so you need 10 people in order to be mefarsim. So you need 10 people, just like Birchas Chasanim needs 10 people. Now, what is the connection between Birchas Chasanim and lighting candles in shul? Lighting candles in a shul is clearly not davar shebekdusha. Lighting candles in a shul is clearly just be mefarsim the names, pirsum enisa. But the Mishnah Berurah himself says, just like, put in the equation, just like by lighting candles, you need 10, or sorry, just like by Birchas Chasadim, you need 10, so too, if you want to light candles in the shul, you need 10. So this is the Mishnah Berurah L'shitaso. He understands that Birchas Chasadim is not a davar shebekdusha. It's much more of an issue of being mefarsein something. And therefore, we see in a few places here, the Mishnah Berurah, he thinks he can bring a ride of Birchas HaGomel from Birchas Chasanim. He thinks he can bring a ride of Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah from Birchas Chasanim. The Mishnah Berurah assumes that Birchas Chasanim is not about a Davar Shebetusha. It's not a Davar Shebetusha, unlike the Shemitah Kubetzes that we saw in our Sugya. Okay. There's just one more, let's say, hypothetical Nafka Min. I don't know, maybe the Lumdus will be different. I don't know if the Psak's going to end up being different. But there's a din by Davar Shebetusha that if you start with 10 and one leaves in the middle, you can finish. So if you start Chazaras HaShatz and one person leaves in the middle, you only have 9, you can finish Chazaras HaShatz. If you start Kaddish, someone leaves in the middle, you can finish Kaddish. So what if you start saying Shel Bracha, so one person leaves, and now you're down to 9? So it could be this would be Tawi. If you learn Davar Shebetusha, so we know the rules of Davar Shebetusha are that even if someone leaves in the middle, you're able to continue. If it's to be Mephi saying the Davar, then I don't know, maybe there's what to talk about. Maybe you can't stop in the middle. Now you did 2 brachas and then someone left in the middle. So that's it. You stop. You don't continue with Chachila doing the rest because that's a din by Davar Shebetusha. We don't have that din by being Mefarsem HaDavar. So that might be a nafkamina. Okay. Next point. The Gemara, in its analysis here, it wants to know why does Rabbi Abohu, we're going back to the Makar that Birchas Chasadim needs 10, why does Rabbi Abohu not accept the Pasuk of Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman learned from the Pasuk in Boa, in Rus, that Boaz congregated 10 people in order to marry Rus. He took 10 Ansh Ziknei Ha'ir. Now why, what do we do with that Pasuk? If you don't want to learn that as the Mokker, Rabbi Abohu wants to learn from Rav Akelos. So what's he going to do with that Pasuk? So the Gemara says that he uses it to make the drasha of Amoni velo Amonit, Moavi velo Moavis. So, and he brings a raya because he says, if it was really just for Birchas Chasanim, you wouldn't need Zekanim. The fact he needed Zekanim indicates that there was something much more serious going on here. This was like a drasha, learning a din from the Torah. So that's what Rabbi Abohu would say. So Rav Nachman responds and says, I don't understand. What do you need 10 people for then? I understand, you're right. You explain the words of Canaan. You need Canaan because it's like Torah, you need to discuss it and be Doresh something. Very good. So I have a Chavrusha. I have one other guy. I have 2 others of Canaan. What do you need 10 of Canaan for? So each one of them has something going for them in the Pasuk. The fact that it's a Canaan indicates it's not Birchas Chasanim, it's Limud HaTorah. The fact that it's 10, maybe that indicates it's Birchas Chasanim or something ceremonial. What do you need 10 for if it's just to learn up the Pshat and the Pasuk? So, Gemara responds, or Rabbi Abohu responds and says, no. You're right, we don't really need the 10 for the Limud, but you need the 10 in order to spread it. We learn the din, Amoni velo Amonit, Moavi velo Moavis. How are you going to get the word out there? So we get 10 Talmidei Chachamim together, and we say over the Shtikl Torah, and now they all know the halacha, so they're going to go, and they're going to go back to the yeshivas, and they're going to tell people the halacha. So you know, maybe you need 10. Maybe you need 11 would have been good. 9 maybe would have been good. Maybe dafka when there's 10, there's more piercing. But that was the point. The point, he says, was that not necessarily that we need 10 because there's a ceremony going on here, and it's Birchas Chasanim. No, we need 10. Just need a farce in the din that we learned. And then he brings a raya. As we find that Shmuel once said to Rav Chana Begadita, he said to him once, go find me 10 people so that I can say in front of them the din, Hamazaka Uber Kana. So you see a raya there that even when it's coming to a din, right, that there's no ceremony going on there, there's no Birchas Chasanim. That was just to learn a din. Mazaka Uber Lo Kana. Sorry, it's Kana. Mazaka Uber is Kana. So he Bedafka said, Shmuel, go get me 10 Chevra together, so that I can say this din, and that way the din will get out. Nice, Raya. You see that you dafka do need 10 when you want to get a din spread. Then the Gemara ends and says, V'hilchasa hamazak luber loka. That actually the halacha is the opposite. That's not really the halacha. Shmuel said it's kana, it's actually not kana. What's that last line doing there? So
that's to make sure that we don't do such a thing.
So one approach is just to say, very technical explanation. Like Moshe is saying, technical explanation. What's the technical explanation? Listen, Lemaisa, that's not the halach. So we don't want you to read this halach and get the wrong impression. Hamazaka le'uba is lo kana, not kana, and therefore, and there are those even suggest, this line is added by the Sabaron. Sabaron, we were talking about this in Seder with someone the other day. Sabaron were the final editors of the Gemara. We know the Gemara tells us, Sofara, Ravina Ravashi, Ravina Ravashi, the ones who edited the Gemara, but every once in a while there's some additions. There's some people who lived after Ravina Ravashi, and then we have certain additions that might have been added by the Sabaron. The Sabaron lived after the Amoraim, but before the Gaonim. It was a couple of hundred year period where they were learning Gemara and making the final tweaks on the Gemara. This is all in the yeshivas in Babylonia. Surah, Pambadisa, in Bava. Okay. So, that's the technical answer. It's just, by the way, side note, this is actually not the halacha. However, there are those who try to suggest a more lumdish or fundamental reason why the Gemara says Hilchasa, and this is not from the Sabaron, this is part of the Gemara, this is actually part of the debate between Rav Nachman and Rabbi Abahu. How can that be? So Neshita Mekubet says, he says that this was Rav Nachman's response to Rabbi Abahu. Again, Rabbi Abahu, what did he say? He said, look, I have a raya from Shmuel that I'm learning the pshat right in the pasuk. What's the pshat in the pasuk? The 10 people were there to learn Torah. What do you need 10 for? In order to spread it. The haraya, Shmuel was once wanted to teach halacha, and he got 10 people together. So the Shiv Degumetze says that maybe the only, he's like deflecting the raya. You think you have a raya from Shmuel because he got 10 people together? The reason he got 10 people together was because he was trying to teach a din that was neged the accepted halacha. Because Hilchasa is lo kana. He was trying to teach everyone kana. So you know why he got 10 people together? You don't normally need 10 people together. That's a bad shot in the pasuk in Rus. What, the 10 people were to spread halacha? You don't need 10 people to spread halacha. You can spread it with 2 people, with 3 people. You don't need 10. Oh, why did Shmuel then go get 10 people? That was such a good raya. It's a bad raya. He was trying to spread a halacha. He felt very strongly that the halacha should be kana, even though the standard practice was low kana. That's why he went and got 10 people together. So when Rabbi Abahu brings his raya and says, look, you see from Shmuel, he got 10 people, comes Rabbi Nachman and goes, yeah, but the halacha is low kana. That's why he got 10 people, because the real halacha is low kana. That's one way to read this line to Hilchasa. There's another very fascinating way to read the line, and I'm not sure exactly how to say it, but I think the background is very interesting. This halacha of Moavi below Moavit, Boaz is darshaning this, and he also has a personal interest here. He's marrying Rus. He wants to marry Rus. And Rus is a Moabite. And the Torah says you're not going to marry a Moabite, even a Moabite convert. So he darshan, yeah, but it says Moabi and not Moabite. So this was the drasha of Boaz and his Beis Din. And Rabbi Abahu was arguing that's the reason why he got 10 people together, not to do Berachas Chasanim, but to learn this din, to matir his own wife to himself. He thought he had a good halacha that would matir the woman. Okay. But if you look at the Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara in Yevamos, you're not there yet. Soon. You'll soon be at Yevamos. But it's Yevamos not by Zion, so you have some time until you get there. Uh-huh. So the Gemara in Yevamos says that Amasa was the son of Abigail. Abigail was David's sister. So this is David's nephew, his sister's kid, Amasa. Now Amasa, though, joined Avshalom in his rebellion against David. Right? Avshalom was David's son, who rebelled after the whole story with Amnon and Tamar in Shmuel Beis. So Avshalom rebels and tries to take over the kingship, and he actually is successful for a little bit. David has to, in disgrace, like leave Yerushalayim. Avshalom takes over. So Avshalom had appointed as his Sar Tzava Amasa. So this is like major family politics going on over here. Okay. Now the Gemara there says that these people were all Talmidei Chachamim, and Amasa was the one who established that the halacha is Moavi below Moavis. Now it's important for Amasa to do this because his lineage and Avshalom's lineage is also Tully on this drasha. Right? These are all like great great grandchildren of Rus and Boaz. Right? Boaz and Rus had Ovid. That was their son. Obed's son was
Yishai.
Good. You know, let's just write it out quickly. It's always good to, you know our great 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 grandparents. We have it there. Okay, thank you.
We have Boaz and Rus. They have Obed. Obed has Yishai. Yishai has David, and also Abigail. And David's kid is Avshalom. He's the one who rebels against David. And Abigail has Amasa. And Amasa becomes the general for Avshalom. This is their cousins. He becomes the general for Avshalom against David. Now, these people are all great child, grandchild, great-grandchild, great-great-grandchild of Rus. So they have a vested interest also that Rus, there should be halacha now that Moaviv alone Moaviv. Now, it was originally, as we saw in our Gemara, darshaned by Boaz. But it doesn't really become accepted by halacha until Amasa proves it when they're having a whole debate about David's lineage. Because when David starts to show signs of kingship, Shaul starts to say, wait a second, is this guy right to be a king? Is he from Malchus Beis David? So he is from Malchus Beis David, because Boaz is from Malchus Beis David. Yeah, but his mother was perhaps a goy. Maybe she wasn't allowed to marry. So there's a whole debate about David's lineage, and Shaul's trying to figure out if he should take David seriously or not as a contender for the throne. And Amasa says, no, you got to take him seriously, because I can prove to you. And he starts, all the halacha, they start debating to show that it's Amoni below Amonit. Okay.
So why is all of this significant in terms of our sugya? Because Boaz's argument, he got 10 people together, but it wasn't really successful. Because it took 1, 2, 3, 4 more generations until the halacha got accepted. You're trying to argue, you know why he got 10 people together? Not in order to say Birchas Chasanim, but in order to get a halacha on the books. And I'll bring a raya from Shmuel, because Shmuel once did that also. So comes Rav Nachman and he says, well, wait a second. Shmuel also didn't work. When Shmuel tried to get a halacha on the books, Uber Kana, the halacha ended up being paskin lo Kana. So you see that this whole idea that getting 10 people together in order to get a halacha on the books, it doesn't necessarily work. That's not the way to get a halacha on the books. You see it from there, and you see it in history also as well from here. So also, you can learn this as some type of response to Rebbe Abahu. Rav Nachman is saying, I don't think your raya from Shmuel is good, because Shmuel had ended up not working, and sure enough, even in the pasuk it didn't work. So I don't think that that was really Boaz's intention, was to get 10 people together in order to get the halacha accepted. It didn't work then. It didn't work later with Shmuel. That's not why he got 10 people together. He got 10 people together in order to make Birchas Chasanim. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about in the sugya, and then Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, we're going to start talking about Birchas Erusin. So, and then we're going to get back to Birchas Chasanim, because we're going to learn the Sheva Brachos in depth, the actual Sheva Brachos. But the last thing about this sugya that I want to talk about is where do you make the Birchas Chasanim? So it says in the Gemara, Tana Rabbanon, Mivarchin Birchas Chasanim, the base Chasanim. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm the base Erusin, but it says, we end up saying that was only in Yehuda. You might say, we pass and you say it in base Chasanim. So we have to just clarify that there are two different cheshbonos that need to be taken into account here. Number one, when and where do you make Sheva Brachos? At the wedding. And then, when and where do you make Sheva Brachos? After the wedding. Meaning, at the wedding, I already went through the process with you, at the wedding you say Sheva Brachos. Nisuin is chuppah. Chuppah means they stand under the canopy together, that's how we do it nowadays, and they say Sheva Brachos. Now, back in the olden days, depends where you were, what country you were, and how olden days, you know, the times we've shown them, they also had chuppah under a talus, you know, that was put up over by four poles. But, for instance, we saw in the Rambam, what's chuppah? Chuppah means knisu labesa. So, what would they do? They would do, I don't know, a wedding in Egypt in the times of the Rambam. I don't know exactly what it was like, but it probably looked something like this. They went to the chassan's house with the girl. They brought the girl to the chassan's house. The chassan that they got, like, I don't know, an apartment for the chassan, or let's say a little house. So he stood outside the house. The chevra, the family, they all, you know, congregated outside the front of the house and on the front lawn. He took out the ring, put put it on her finger, and he said, "Arayat mekudeshesli." Everyone said Mazel Tov. That was it. That was Erusin. And then they said, "Okay, we're going to do Nisuin now." So the Rambam says, so they would make the brachas then, right before Chuppah. Chuppah means when he's about, right, he, let's say, just to sensationalize it a little bit. So he says, "Okay, now, thank you everybody for coming to my Kiddushin. I am now going to do Nisuin. Come, dear," takes her by the hand, and he wants to walk into the house. And the rabbi says, "Whoa, wait a second. Kalabu Bracha is Kanida. You have to make, you have to do Brachas Chasanim first." Up, you're right. So before they go, right? So the Kiddushin took place on the front lawn, on the grass. Now they're standing at the doorstep, and they're about to, he's about to take her in. So they sing the brachos. So they call out grandpa, and they call out all the different people in the family, and they make the shadow brachos. So they say, the shadow brachos that we're familiar with. And then everyone says, Mazel Tov, and he takes her by the hand, and he goes into the house, closes the door, locks it, Yichud, Roy Labia, in the house, Mazel Tov, that's Nisuin. And everybody else goes home, and, you know, I don't know, they have dinner, maybe they have Bia that night, and that's it. That's the whole wedding in Egypt, in the times of the Rambam. Who knows, maybe after the Yichud, after they're in Yichud for 20 minutes, which is the amount of time that's Roy Labia, maybe they come out and they all go down the block to a restaurant and they have a meal, and that's how they have a, they had a wedding party also. Maybe yes, maybe no. But that's how the Rambam remarks. The Rambam writes that Beis Chasanim means before you do Chuppah. Now, if you were thinking when you read the Rambam before you do Chuppah, oh, you mean like in the wedding hall, before we go into the, you know, room with the chuppah in it, you do Beis Chasanim. No, the Rambam Shita was that that chuppah means Knis Labayis. So the idea means before Knis Labayis, you make brachos. Rashi says, Kodem Shenichnasu L'chuppah. Right? Rashi says, sorry, Kishenichnasu L'chuppah. So the Rashi says when they're entering the chuppah. So maybe that means under the canopy. But Rashi and the Rambam are dealing with at the wedding. When do you say Birchas Chasanim at the wedding? But other Rishonim address a different Birchas Chasanim. And that's a Birchas Chasanim. And the Rambam also talks about that in Hilchos Brachos. In Hilchos Ishos, he talks about the Birchas Chasanim that we do at the wedding. Then in Hilchos Brachos, when he talks about benching, he talks about adding Brachos into benching when you're eating during the Zayin Yimei Mishneh, Zayin Yimei Simcha, after a wedding. So now we have to debate, when do you say Sheva Brachos? What we refer to as Sheva Brachos, right? In general, at the wedding, we don't usually refer to it as Sheva Brachos. We just say, oh, it's part of the Chuppah. We make Brachos under the Chuppah. Happens to be the same seven Brachos that we make during what we call Sheva Brachos. So other Rishonim debate, when do you make Sheva Brachos? It says here in the Gemara, Brachos Chasanim, Beis Chasanim. So let's assume that the reality in the times of the Talmud was they got married outside the chassan's house, like I said, and then he goes into the house with her, and that's Chuppah. And then, for 7 days, he eats with his wife in his house. And he invites, you know, the cousins from that side for one meal. Now, he probably, they don't make the food. I'm sure the family members make the food. But it's not like nowadays, where, you know, you go to your parents' friends for one Sheva Brachos, then you go to, like, a restaurant for another Sheva Brachos, and then maybe, you know, you all go away to a hotel for a Shabbos Sheva Brachos, and then you... That wasn't what was going on back then. The Chassan and Kala moved into their new house. They had their meals there. That's Birchas Chasanim and Beis Chasanim. And if for some reason they would leave and go eat someplace else, the Gemara in Sukkah says that they'd go out to the Sukkah, they wouldn't make Birchas Chasanim. Only in their home. So how do we understand that Lahalacha? So there are three possibilities. Possibility number one is the strictest reading. You only make Sheva Brachos when you eat during the 7 Yimei Simcha in the same location that you did the original chuppah. So, nowadays, that would be very hard then. That would mean that if you got married in the, I don't know, Terrace on the Park, so, you know, at the wedding hall in Queens, New York, so if during the 7 Yimei Simcha, you and your wife go back to Terrace on the Park and decide, like, knock on the door, it's fine if we, like, sit in the corner and have a meal, then you say Birchas Chasanim. But if you go back to your house in Woodmere and you have Sheva Brachos there, or you go to your family friends and you go there, you don't make Birchas Chasanim. Because Birchas Chasanim is only Beis Chasanim, which means in the place where you got married. The Maram sounds a little bit like that in the Hagos Mamonios. In the Hagos, excuse me, Ashri. In the Hagos on the Rush. Sounds a little bit that he learned it really very much Bedafka. You only make Sheva Brachos if you celebrate the Zayin Yimei Simcha in the original location of where the wedding was. Now again, that wasn't so crazy back then, because they probably did it in the same house where they got married. That's option number one. Option number two is you make Sheva Brachos. Beis Chasanim means Iker, Makom, Diras, Ha'ish, V'Ha'isha, HaChasim V'Hakala. Iker, Yeshivas, Chasim V'Kala. Which means, if you got married in Tarsim Park, and now you come back to your apartment that you're renting in Woodmere, and you have a meal in your apartment in Woodmere, then you make Berchos Chasanim. Still, if you go to a restaurant, you don't. If you go back to Terrace on the Park, you probably don't. Because it's only in the Iker, Makom, Yeshivas, Chasan, Vekala. Whatever is considered their primary residence. And that's what Chuppah means in this context. Chuppah in this context, for instance, the Gemara in Sukkah says, in the Chuppah, yes, not in the Sukkah, though. Why not in the Sukkah? Because the Sukkah is not Iker, Diras, Chasan, Vekala. Oh, isn't the Chasan sleeping there? Probably his wife's inside. He's not sleeping there, he's not eating there all the time. It's during Zayin Yom Mishnah. They're just going out to have a meal. That is not Iker Mekomam. Iker Mekomam is their house. And therefore, according to this as well, and this is what Tosfos seems to say, and this is also what's Mashman the Shulchan Aruch. If you read the Shulchan Aruch carefully, this is what the Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying.
Mind if I take this one second?
Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, thank you. Shulchan Aruch says, Im hachasan yotze mechupaso, afilu kalaso imo, v'hochen lecho b'bayis acher, they go to a friend's house, ein omrim sham berchas chasanim. V'hani imili, kishetai to lachzor, acher kach mechupaso. And if you go to a friend's house, and then you're planning on coming back to your apartment during the Zayin, if you move in the middle, like my wife and I got married in Israel. So we got married here. We had one or two Shabbat brachos here. Then we flew to America, and we were planning on staying in America for the next, I don't know, 8 months, 10 months. We flew to America. And so in that case, even if we were holding like the Shulchan Aruch, like Tosfos, in a Hanami, if we were in our home in Israel, we happened to have nothing, because we didn't have a home. So we were bouncing around to people's houses for the Shabbat brachos. So, Lahore, we wouldn't have made it then. But let's say we had a home here in Israel. Let's say we had an apartment. We got married 2 days. We were in that apartment. We did the Shabbat brachos in that apartment. Now we get on a plane and we fly to America and we have a new apartment in Teaneck where we're going to be living. Okay. So when you get to Teaneck, that's now your Iker Makom Dirasim. You move. If you go to Teaneck for a day and then you're planning on going back to your apartment in Israel, then you wouldn't make it in Teaneck. Because that's not Iker Makom Dirasim. But if you're doing it in Iker Makom Dirasim, then you do say Shabbat brachos. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin. The last shita is that it's much, much more gamish. It's much more malleable. It's much more flexible. And it's anywhere where the chasan and kala are there, and maybe we'll say, and the meal is taking place in honor of their marriage. And this is what the Rosh seems to say, and the Ran. The reason why you don't make a bracha in the sukkah, that gemara in sukkah, is apparently the mitzvah there was that the chasam just like went out to eat in the sukkah and he ran right back in. He wasn't sitting with his wife there and having a meal. But any time the chasam and kala come together during the Zayin Yemei Simcha, during Zayin Yemei Mishnah, in order to have a meal, to celebrate their marriage, that is considered Beis Chasanim regarding this halacha. Beis Chasanim doesn't mean the physical structure. It means wherever the chasam and kala are, that's called Beis Chasanim. And the Rosh quotes from Rabbeinu Yechiel that even if you have, I don't know, some type of interesting setup where a bunch of different people are in different rooms, because maybe the house isn't big enough to have all, I don't know, 30 people in the same room. So if some people in that room or even in different houses, and they're all facing a chatzer. But if they're all part of the same meal, that's considered Pes Chasanim, and you would say Berchas Chasanim. Taz says that that's how we paskin. He quotes the Maharal paskins that way, and that is the way that we paskin nowadays. And that's the reason why nowadays, for Shabbat brachos, we go to a restaurant, you go to a family friend for the meal, and you say Birchas Chasanim, even though it isn't strictly Beis Chasan, Beis HaChasan, but that's how we're learning Beis Chasan. So again, Beis Chasan really has three interpretations. Beis Chasan either means the place you got married, or Beis Chasanim means the place where you and your wife are living, or Beis Chasanim means anywhere where you and your wife are there together to have a meal to celebrate your marriage. Okay, questions?